Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
John chapter number 20, look where I let you remain seated. Look in verse number 30. The Bible said this, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now, I'm headed to another part of John also tonight here in just a few minutes, but I want to begin a series. There's seven different times in the book of John that Jesus says, I am. There's seven different what is known as I am statements in the book of John, and I want to begin looking at those, but I want to give you some things going into that tonight, lay some groundwork going into it. We may look at the first one just a little bit tonight if we have time. Father, we love you. I pray that you'd help us tonight. God, you know the need of the service, and I thank you for being good to us. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we preach tonight and we look in your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I thought about this. Every day our world asks the same question in different ways. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Matter of fact, it was asked throughout the Bible also. When we think about that, some say he was a prophet. Some say he was a great teacher. Some say he was merely a good man. Others deny that he ever was who he claimed to be. But the greatest question tonight is not what other people say about Jesus, but it's simply this, who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you tonight? I believe that if we was to open the floor for answers, there would be a multitude of different answers tonight. Different ones would say different things about Jesus and who he is to them. Matter of fact, he even in Matthew chapter number 16 made the statement, but whom say ye that I am? The Gospel of John was written, I truly believe, to answer this question. Matter of fact, when we begin studying John's Gospel, John doesn't begin in a manger. John doesn't begin with genealogy. John doesn't begin with Bethlehem. Matter of fact, he begins even before the book of Genesis, because he said this in John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word. So in other words, whenever Genesis began, guess what? Jesus was already there. In the beginning was the Word. John wants us to understand that before Jesus ever walked the shores of Galilee, he already was. He's eternal. He's God. He's the Creator. He's the life. He's the light. Everything John writes points us to one conclusion. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh. Matter of fact, in John chapter number 1, he even goes on to make the statement, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was God. As you read through John's Gospel, you'll notice something remarkable. There's seven different times that Jesus makes an incredible statement and says, I am. This statement immediately takes our minds back to Genesis, but to Exodus chapter number 3. You remember the story when Moses was fixing to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt's land, and God comes to Moses and says, hey, listen, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to set my people free. And of course, Moses and God begins this conversation. I don't necessarily know that Moses was arguing with God. I just believe that Moses wanted to make sure that he was doing the right thing. And Moses says to God, well, whom shall I say sent me? And God says this, just tell him the I am that I am hath sent me. The I am that I am. And you know what? A lot of people, whenever they say I am, they always finish that with something. I am a father. I am a mother. I'm a brother. I'm a sister. But what does God say? God just simply says I am. You know what he's saying to Moses? He's saying, Moses, whatever you need when you face Pharaoh, a type of the world, I am whatever you need. Amen. Can I say today, I'm glad that, and I'm really trying to just talk to you and teach to you tonight, not just rear back and preach, but it's hard not to preach on that. I'm glad that he said, I am the Lord thy God and I change not. So what he was for Moses, thank God he'll be for me. And when I face the enemy, thank God he'll be there to help me. Amen. In John's gospel, John wasn't simply using a common expression, but he decides to identify himself, Jesus, with the eternal God. Then one by one, he reveals himself, Jesus does, in ways that every person can understand. Think about this. When people are hungry, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. When people are walking in darkness, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. When people are searching for salvation, Jesus said, I am the door. When people need guidance and protection, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. When death seems to have the final word, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life. When people asked how to get to heaven, well, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When believers wonder how to live in the Christian life, Jesus says, I am the true vine. Notice Jesus never simply offered bread. He said, I am bread. He never simply points towards the light. He said, I am the light. He never merely shows a door. He says, I am the door. Everything humanity lacks today, guess what? Jesus is that. Amen. Everything that we lack today, Jesus is that. I thought about this. Our world is searching for satisfaction. Jesus says, I am the bread. Our world is searching for truth. Jesus says, I am the light. Our world is searching for security. Jesus says, I am the door. Our world is searching for leadership. And Jesus says, I am the shepherd. Our world fears death, but Jesus says, I'm the resurrection. Our world is asking how to reach God. Jesus says, I am the way. Our world is desiring to live a fruitful life in Christ. You know what he says? I am the vine. Thank God through him we can live that. So as we look in the book of John and we began to think about this, Jesus on seven different occasions says, I am. Whatever it is that you need today, I'm glad that Jesus is exactly what we need today. Take your Bible, flip back to John chapter number 6 with me. Let me show you one of these I am statements, and I'll mention a few things about it and then really give you the meat of it on Sunday morning. John chapter number 6. Let me read you a couple verses right here. John chapter number 6 says this in verse number 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, watch this, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let's take a minute to look at this first I am statement. What's God's first name? Well, I think we could say it this way, I am. I believe that's his first name because he is whatever we need. I am is the shortest complete sentence I believe that we could say in the English language. Exodus chapter number 3 is where it has taken our mind back to talking about the manna that fell from heaven when the children of Israel was in the wilderness. When Moses said, think about this also though. When Moses said, who am I? God said, it doesn't matter who you are. I am. Moses said, I am nothing, But God said, I am everything. Moses said, I have nothing to offer. God said, I am all that you need. Moses said, I am someone or I am not someone they'll listen to. But God said, I am someone that they'll listen to. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Jesus just simply, and God just simply says to Moses, I am. Why did he not go ahead and state what he was? Because with God, there is no boundaries. He was teaching Moses that day in Exodus chapter number 3, there is no boundaries to what I am. The only boundary that God or Jesus ever had was that they could not sin. But besides that, hear me tonight, there is no boundaries with God. Can I just simply say it this way? We could say this, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing impossible for God. There's not a situation so hard that God can't step into. Why? Because he's I am. Amen. He's I am. What is he? He is whatever you need. If you need a comforter, well, he'll be a comforter. If you need a provider, he'll be a provider. If you need an anchor, he's the anchor. There's no limit to what he is and what he can do. Now, think about this. The Bible said in John chapter number 8, verse number 58, before Abraham was, I am. You know what he's saying? He's simply telling us that before time ever began, before Abraham ever showed up, he already was, amen. Now, I want you to look at this statement right here in John 6 for a minute tonight. He said, I am what? The bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. I want you to see three quick things tonight, and then we'll really dive into this on Sunday morning. But let me just show you three little things that I've written down about. Number one, I see the person this bread represents tonight. It's representing someone. Why? Because Jesus said it. Jesus said, I am the bread. So who does it represent? It represents the Lord tonight. Think about this. He said, I am the bread of life. Here in John chapter number 6, Jesus used commodity of bread to teach us a tremendous spiritual truth. In this passage, we are presented with a new portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is him being our bread. Now, think about this. Christ's response is to remind them that Moses was not responsible for the manna. When you read the verses prior to it, and Jesus talking about the bread that came down from heaven, Jesus is showing them, what did he say in verse number 32? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. He is reminding them that it wasn't Moses that done that. Man could not do that. The very need that they had, man could not fulfill that. Oh, but he knew who could fulfill that. So he goes on to remind them it was God that fulfilled that. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. So you know what he is saying? He is saying this, I and my Father gave that bread. This manna, I really believe, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. When you study Exodus chapter number 16, in verse number 9 through 15, it deals with that manna coming down from heaven. Watch this. It is divine in its source. It came down from heaven. It was divine in its source. Jesus is divine in his origin. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible said, I came down from heaven. I came down from heaven. Matter of fact, it occurs 7 different times in John chapter number 6. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. He is divine in his source tonight. Jesus was not just some ordinary man that walked walked the streets of Bethlehem. He was not just some ordinary man that was born and laid in a manger. No, he is God incarnated into man. Jesus was divine in his source tonight. I thought about this. The manna came down during the night. When you think about Jesus, what did he do? In the darkness of the night when the world needed a Savior. Amen. Guess what? He came down from heaven in the darkness of your life when you needed somebody. And this world could not sustain you. And this world could not give you what you're looking for. Thank God there was somebody divine in their source that in the midnight hours of your life... Oh, yes, he came to where you was at. It's divine in its source. Thinking about this. But it was small in its size. Our Bible said this in verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Whenever you study the size of it out, you'll find that it was small in its size. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with Jesus? It speaks of his humanity, and it also speaks of his humility. Think about this. It was round in its shape. Whenever you study that manna out in Exodus chapter number 16, it was round in its shape. You say, well, what in the world does that have to do with Jesus Christ? Well, you know what? You take something that's round like a wedding band tonight, it has no end. It has no beginning. It has no end. Can I just say it this way? It represents the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ. He always has been, and he always will be. He was then. He is today. He'll be forevermore, amen. What about this? It was white in its color. Whenever you study Exodus chapter number 16 out, you'll find out that it talks about that manna being white. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? Well, if you hadn't got it, let me just say it this way. That deals with his purity. Amen. He was the sinless Son of God. He that knew no sin became sin. Jesus never sinned the first time. Thank God if he had have ever sinned the first time, our sin debt would still be on us today. But thank God he never sinned the first time. He was pure. Amen. I thought about this. Whenever you study it out and read different ones, they say that it was very sweet to the taste. That manna was sweet to the taste. Jesus is good to all who trust him. Those who partook of the manna found it sweet and satisfying. What did the psalmist say? He said this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And can I just say something to you tonight? The Lord is good. Thank God for that night I tasted and realized that he was good. And he wasn't just good then. Thank God he's still good today, and no matter what I face tomorrow, no matter how dark the day may be, no matter how bad the storm may be, thank God he'll still be good then. Oh yeah, what about this? Whenever you study that manna out, I just stay with me, man. Whenever you study that manna out, you'll find out that all the children of Israel in the wilderness, it was sufficient for all of them. Exactly what they needed was right. It was sufficient for all of them. I just thought about this. It reminds me that we have an all-sufficient Savior tonight. Matter of fact, they say that whenever you count the people that was in Israel during that time and in that wilderness, that God gave approximately 240 boxcars of manna per a day to the children of Israel. Can I just say this? That's a whole lot. Amen. That's a whole lot. But you know what happened? Every morning they walked out there, and guess what? There it was, enough for the day. It was right there. He was sufficient. Everything that I need, everything that I've ever needed, and everything that I ever will need. Thank God he's sufficient tonight. Amen. I thought about this. But this person that it represents, this bread, I thought about it, but it had to be received. You know, all of that's good, but if you didn't receive it, didn't do you a bit of good. Remember, Scotty was talking the other day. I could be mean right there, but I'm going to be. I was listening to Scotty talk the other day. Some of y'all get that in a little bit. We've been picking on him tonight. Remember, Scotty was talking the other day, and here's what he said. And you've heard the old saying. He said, you can lead a mule to water, but you can't make it drink. And you know what? Everything that you need for your life could be right in front of you. But you got to taste it and see that He's good. Everything, I'm telling you, everything. But you got to receive it. Well, the person it represents. But think about this, number two. I'm watching the time. Number two, not only the person it represents. And this is just simple. I hope you'll come back Sunday and we'll really dive into this. There's the persuasion it requires. The Bible said in verse number 36, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Look what the Bible said in verse number 39. "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." There's eternal security, by the way. And I just say that, but there's eternal security in the Bible, amen. He said in verse number 40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answering and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So there's the person that it represents, but there is the persuasion that it requires. Again, he said in verse number 44, "No man come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." Think about this. There is the inclusion. He said, no man. There's the invitation, can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. But then there's the instruction, and I will raise him up at the last day. Whenever you look back in John chapter number 6 and verse 5 through 14, every man took as much as they would. When you study the context, and again on Sunday, we'll go back and look at every bit of that. He's just fed the 5,000 men with five loaves and two fishes, and they took as much as they would. And after they had filled themselves, there was still an abundance left over, according to verse number 13. So you say, preacher, what does that mean? Here's simply what that means. Even though hundreds of millions have been saved by the grace of God, there is always grace enough for one more to be saved. You know what he's saying? There's the persuasion that it requires. He is persuading men. He is drawing men to come take of the bread of life. So I see this. There's the person it represents, the persuasion it requires. But note this, there's the promise that it reveals. There's the promise that it reveals. Look in verse 47. I know I'm jumping around in the text a little bit, but look at verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Think about this, the promise that it reveals tonight. There's the promise of salvation in verse number 51. Again, he said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." There's the promise of salvation, but there's the promise of satisfaction. What did he say back in verse number 35? Here's what he said. And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." And my mind just went to Brother Reggie Sadler singing, "I can't get no satisfaction." If you know, you know. But if you can't, it's because you're looking for it in the wrong place. You know what this world is doing today? They're looking for satisfaction everywhere else. If you was to go to the bar stool today, you'll find a lot of people that's sitting on a bar stool. You know what they're doing? They're trying to find satisfaction. If you was to go to the place where they're selling dope today, you know what they're doing? They're trying to find satisfaction. They're dealing with things in their life, and they're trying to find peace and satisfaction in their life. But I'm going to tell you something. They'll never find it there. But thank God this bread, if they'll just taste and see that He is good, it is a satisfaction that comes from it. Then he gives this in verse 37 through 40. He gives the promise of security. So you say, preacher, what is this bread? Well, I'd say this. There's a person that it represents. There's a persuasion that it requires, but there is a promise that it reveals. There's a promise that it reveals. What is that promise? Thank God through Him we can take of that bread and never hunger again. It goes hand in hand with John chapter number 4, does it not? Jesus said, if you'll drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. He said to him in John chapter number 6, if you'll eat of this bread, you'll never be hungry again. Thank God for that. I thought about this. Madden's coming to the piano and starting to play softly. A missionary was passing out the Gospel of John in a central province of India one day. One man took the Gospel of John, and when he realized what it was and that it was Christian literature, he tore it in pieces and threw it to the ground. But in the providence of God, another man shortly came by that same place and picked up a piece of torn paper to see what it was. He read words in his own language that said this, the bread of life. He did not know what it meant and asked some of his friends whether they knew its meaning. One told him this, I can tell you that these are words from a Christian book. You must not read it or you will be defiled. The man thought to himself, a phrase as beautiful as this cannot be defiled. He bought a copy of the New Testament and read it until he found the statement, I am the bread of life. As he read and studied the passage, the light of God's Word flooded his heart. And that man sitting there that night trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and ate of the bread of life eternally. Said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm just saying this. He is what you're looking for. Amen. I am the bread. Now, there's a whole lot more in that passage. I hope you'll come back Sunday. That's really just an introduction into where I want to go Sunday. But I'm glad He's what we need tonight, amen? I'm glad that He's what, when we're hungry, I'm glad that we can taste of Him and see that He really is good tonight, amen? He's sufficient, He's eternal, He's everything that we need, that's Him tonight.